Iron and Fire, written by Karen Willis, narrated by Naomi Rose Mock. Chapter 1. Verity, 26 May, 1675.
Verity Parker, make haste, girl.
Obadiah Elston called to his stepdaughter with disdain.
I will not allow your sloth to make us late to church.
Verity, who was currently assisting Elston's youngest daughter with her laces for the third time that morning, bit back a huff of frustration. Sloth, after I spent the morning preparing your meal and herding your children. It was fruitless to respond, so she directed her now fully laced stepsister towards the stairs, taking one final look around the girl's bedchamber to ensure that everything was tidy before reaching for her hat. Verity headed downstairs and out the door. Obadiah and his wife Anne, Verity's mother, led the family procession 2 miles up the road to the austere meeting house in the centre of town. His eldest sons, 15-year-old John and 14-year-old Dyer, followed behind their father, their pimpled and freshly shaven faces nearly identical to his. Next came 7-year-old Mercy, who kept a hawkeye on 9-year-old Joseph, lest he get into mischief on the road again. Verity walked at the back of the line with her older sister Hannah, each girl holding on to a hand of the youngest Elston, 5-year-old Grace. Obadiah set a brisk pace for his family, striding in silence through the wooded path to town, never stopping to check that the children were keeping up with him. Verity's mother, however, glanced behind every few moments, with a tired but encouraging smile for her followers. There were few signs of civilization between the Elston farm and the centre of town, if not for the muddy dirt road and the blue swath of sky slicing through the canopy of pine, oak and maple trees. Verity could almost believe them to be entirely alone in the world. Within 30 minutes or so, the illusion of solitude was shattered as they approached the Taunton Green, where nearly everyone in town was gathering before church. Verity smiled in greeting at the Morton family as they passed. Goodwife Morton was her mother's sister, and it was she who had persuaded the former Anne Parker to cross the Atlantic Ocean with her daughters 2 years ago to marry the recently widowed Obadiah Elston. As she picked her way over the mud puddles on Main Street, Verity's attention was drawn to the sight of 2 men in the pillory on the eastern side of the green. She didn't recognize either of the 2 men on display this morning, and she raised an eyebrow at Hannah as they passed, wordlessly asking her sister if she knew who the men were and what they had done to deserve their punishment. Taunton was a growing town, with several new families building homesteads each year, but it was uncommon for the Parker girls to see a face neither of them knew. Hannah answered Verity with an almost imperceptible shrug. She knew nothing more than her sister did. Verity took one last look back at the criminals, curious to know who they were. At that moment, one of the men lifted his head and locked eyes with her. Even from a distance, she could tell his eyes were startlingly blue, and they latched onto hers with a curiosity that matched her own. Most girls would have flushed and looked away, but Verity Parker was not most girls. If a man had the stones to stare her down, she would meet his gaze head on. A quick assessment convinced her that whatever this man had been convicted of, there was too much kindness in his handsome features for him to be much of a danger. The same soot-black hair that was tied in a tail at the nape of his neck also grew in a scruff on his chin, setting him apart from the men in town whose custom it was to be close-cropped and clean-shaven. But it was the look of curiosity in his eyes, curiosity about her, no less, that made Verity hold his gaze. She felt it in her core, and she visibly jolted when the connection was severed, as Grace tugged on her hand. "Verity?" Grace looked up at her quizzically. "Are you well?" "Yes, of course," Verity said a little too quickly, as she moved up the steps and into the meeting house. She caught a puzzled look from Hannah, who knew her well enough to discern that she wasn't being completely forthright, but ignored it and proceeded toward their box. Verity spent the next 4 hours sandwiched between Hannah and Mercy on a hard wooden bench, struggling to maintain the appearance of rapt attention to Reverend Stone's emphatic sermon on God's covenant with New England.
"Do not forget, people of Taunton, that the Almighty who tore Babylon asunder will also send his vengeance upon Plymouth Colony if he determines that she has become a dwelling place of demons."
The good reverend looked like a minor demon himself as he pounded the pulpit with his fist for emphasis. His face was scarlet, and spittle flew from his lips as he expounded upon his point.
"We must avoid the pitfalls of the savages we live amongst, who see no value in the life of..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?